turn to Proverbs chapter 20 in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 20. Before we get stuck into the message, read a few verses. Once everyone's settled down, and I want to ask you a question and see if I can get some help with the theme of this month, faithfulness. We've been singing about the faithfulness of God. We've been singing how He is faithful to us. But today we're going to look at our faithfulness to Him and to our responsibilities that He has entrusted us with, being here on earth. Now, in what areas can we be found faithful? Anyone help me here tonight, this morning? In what areas can we be found faithful? You can lift up a hand if you want to answer. Yep. Okay, service, ministry. Mick?
Faithful witness.
Okay, faithful witness for Christ. Amen. Anyone else? In what areas, in every aspect of your life, do you think we can be found faithful in? Yes. Okay, school, study, education. All right. Anyone else?
Prayer.
Prayer? Amen. Our prayer and our walk with God. Anyone else? Yes? Okay, yes. Reaching out to others and caring for others. Amen. Anyone else? Yep.
Marriage.
Marriage. Wonderful. Marriage and committed to our spouse. What else? Yep.
Stewardship of our finances.
Amen. Stewardship of our finances. And under that, you can say time and talents. We can be found faithful in those things. If you look at all these things, they become very overwhelming. But I guarantee you, as we read in the quote this morning, if you're faithful to Him, then everything else will be falling into place. Everything else will just fit in once we're faithful to Him. And the perfect example of that was the Church of Macedonia. They were able to give out of their deep poverty and their affliction, and seeing their circumstances, is because they gave themselves first unto the Lord. And I think that's the thrust of the matter, really, if you want to get down to it. If you're not faithful in a certain area, it's perhaps you're not faithful to the Lord. And this is where our source of commitment, power, strength, wisdom, grace, if you would, comes from. Love, it comes from Him. So I understand this from the Scriptures. Once we're walking right with the Lord, once we're in tune with God, everything else will fall into place. And so being faithful, you know, work, in my work, being faithful to my boss, being faithful in all these things that you've mentioned here this morning. Once I'm right with God, and once I'm walking with Him, faithful to Him, then all these other things will come into place. But this morning, what I want to do is perhaps get the definition of faithfulness by looking at several passages of Scripture. Some of them will relate to the service of the Lord and to that aspect. But also I want to see the hindrances that would cause us to be unfaithful. And then I want to see the benefits of that. So we'll do verse by verse. We'll try to get the context from that. And rather than going back and to that verse, we'll just touch on those things. So the definition, the hindrances, and then the benefits. Well, let's look at Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6. Notice what the Bible says there. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Now, the passage of Scripture, right, he's not saying that they cannot be found, but it's very rare. It's almost like the Proverb 31 woman, a virtuous woman who can find. It's not saying that the virtuous woman cannot be found. Hence, our passage of Proverb 31 says that she has the qualities of a virtuous woman, but it's saying it's very rare in our day to find someone that is faithful and committed. The Bible says that most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, But a faithful man who can find. Someone once said, it's better be faithful than famous. And the Bible says, in all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. It means poverty or need or lack. And so a man of God once said this, your walk talks more than your talk talks. And so most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Let's go before the Lord in prayer, shall we? Father, we come before you now and ask and pray that you'd speak to our hearts by these different definitions from the scriptures. And regarding to this subject, faithfulness, Father, there is no doubt that we can see from the scriptures that you have been so faithful to us. And you've been so faithful to your promises, your word, and also, Father, the greatest gift ever given to us, salvation. Father, I pray for anyone in this room this morning that hasn't yet come to that knowledge of truth in their own lives, haven't yet trusted the Lord as their own Savior, and they're still struggling with that, that Father, you'd help them understand that you love them and that you were faithful to die on that cross for them. Father, I pray that you'd edge that in their hearts. I also want to pray, Father, for those that are Christians, that Father, you'd help every single one of us understand the meaning of what faithfulness is, understand this morning what will hinder that, and also, Father, the benefits from being faithful. Father, we love you. Pray that you bless your word to our hearts for your glory and for the sake of the precious gospel. Pray that you be with the Sunday school creche. Pray that you be with those teachers, the kids, the children, the students. Oh, dear God, I pray that you give them also a blessed time this morning. Father, we love you. Bless this morning for the glory of God and for the sake of the precious gospel. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were to ask a director or a manager of a company, what qualities would you look for when you're hiring them besides their ability, knowledge, or experience? Majority of the time, 95% of the time, they'll say, I'm just looking for someone that's going to be faithful, someone that's going to be sticking with it, someone that's going to be committed, someone that's going to be true to their word. What a quality to have as an employee in a business or in a company, that that person is faithful. There's no doubt that's what they look for these days. The training comes along with it. You know, they don't necessarily look for someone that perhaps has the training. These days they will train you if you don't know some things, but they're looking for someone that's going to stick with it. It's amazing how many people go in and work for a few months and then they change jobs again and work for a few months. And they just keep jumping around and, you know, thought that this is the right place, this is the right, you know, job for them, and then they're not sticking with it. Unfortunately, that's not the only thing that happens, but people do that in marriage. And if you'd ask the same question to a spouse, they're saying, look, I'm just looking for someone that's going to be faithful to their vows. If you ask someone else, if you would, like a pastor, they'll say, I just want someone, church members, to be in their place. Most of all, if you ask God, you would say, well, God is just looking for some people just to stick with it, to keep going, and to keep pressing on. Faithfulness is a great attribute. It's a great character trait in a person that they can have. The Bible says it clear in 1 John 3:18. It says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And I like how that's put together, indeed and in truth. Now, throughout the book of Timothy, you see a pattern. Paul the Apostle encouraging, particularly 2 Timothy, encouraging him to keep on, to keep pressing forward and to not give up. And again, as I mentioned to you, I want to get the definition this morning of what faithfulness is by looking at these different scriptures and then the hindrances and then the benefits. So what is faithfulness? We'll turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And we're going to see a first definition there. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. And beginning from verse 4, the Bible says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. So we see that the first definition to faithfulness is to be true to your word. To be true to your word. Let me say this to you this morning. Don't make promises that you cannot keep. Don't vow vows before God or under heaven or even before man that you're not going to be committed to follow through those promises or commitments that you've made. Do not commit to something that you're in doubt of. Whether it's the will of God, if it's not the will of God, then don't commit to it. Don't promise and don't vow. Look, let me say this, especially in big decisions. I'm not undermining small decisions, but I'm saying this to you. Big decisions, like one of them, marriage. You don't know that that's the right person for your life and there's a gray area, you've got some doubt. Listen, I wouldn't jump into that and I wouldn't make that decision because what is the hindrances? A hasty decision. A hasty decision. Notice verse 2. Be not rash with thy mouth. And let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. And so especially in this marriage decision making, I tell you something. The benefits is health and being enriched. If you keep to those vows, once you've made those covenant before God and man and to your spouse, let me say, you'll have an enriched, healthy marriage. But if you make that covenant before God and before man and you're not going to stick to your vows, your marriage will deteriorate. You'll have trouble. You'll have anguish and despair. And let me say this to you, what will help you stay true to your vows? If you have made those vows and if you have committed to your spouse, it's to be in the Word of God. This is a fantastic book. It's called the Bible. The Bible stands for the book. That's what Bible stands for. It's this book, the Word of God, the wisdom of God, the mind of God, helps us to keep in line. Helps us to keep in line. And so it helps us to keep in line with the commitment that we've made to our spouse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you look at that definition every now and then, or you probably write it down somewhere where you can't forget it, and when you open your Bible or something, have it there. I tell you, it will give you a reminder what true love is and how to love your spouse. Love is used in a flippant way in our days. Say, I love you. Yeah, but words are words. And many a times a spouse is looking for someone that will show them love. And when you show your spouse love, you don't have to say, I love you 1,000 million times. You know, another thing that you can look in the scriptures that help you keep in line with keeping your vows to your spouse and keeping your commitment, keeping your faithfulness to your spouse is when the Bible says, dwell with one another according to knowledge. Learn to adjust with one another. When you go into marriage, you're still going to find out, especially young people, that there are some things that that person, you don't know, their bad habits perhaps, or their little things that you perhaps won't do and that you'll notice in marriage. Well, you're going to have to learn to adjust. And you yourself make changes. Perhaps your spouse points out things in your life and you've got to be ready to adjust if you can and if you will. And they have to do the same, staying true to them. But another one, which I really believe is a big one, is don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. I mean, look, listen, we understand this is true in every single marriage. And if young people, if you're going to get married and you're not going to expect to have problems in your marriage, let me say, you have a misunderstanding. Every marriage needs to be worked on. That's what love is all about. But when you work on your marriage, make sure you work on it before you sleep. You don't want to put your head down on the pillow and there's issues and problems that have not been rectified. And you're angry and you're upset and you haven't dealt with things. And you just rug them under the bed and they pile up. You know, one day can turn into 1 week. And 1 week can turn into 1 month. And 1 month can turn into 1 year. And before you know it, you see your spouse is not faithful in anything anymore. Because you have some things that are undealt with. A married couple had an argument and ended up giving each other the silent treatment. And 2 days into their mute argument, the man realized that he needed his wife to help him. But he didn't want to be the first one to break the silence. Could have been a pride thing. So he writes her a little note beside her bed saying, because he had a very important flight to go to in the morning. So he writes her a little note saying, wake me up at 5 a.m. Puts it beside her bed. Sure enough, the next morning came. His wife was out of bed before he was. And it was about 9 o'clock and he was furious at the fact that she didn't wake him up and he was demanding an answer why she didn't. But before he can actually go up to his wife, he sees a little note beside his bed. It's 5 a.m. Wake up. People just learn to stay true to their vows and true to their commitment and love and forgive. You'll have a healthy and rich marriage. But it's staying true to your commitments, it's staying true to those vows and not being proud and not being, a people that are stubborn, but being a people that are remembering the vows. The best thing that you and I can do as a married people is remember the time we gave those vows. Remember, we vowed before God. And if someone wants to be faithful in their marriage, they've got to be true to their word. But next, we want to see the definition is in 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy 3:14. The Bible says there, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. To continue in, to abide or remain, stand, to continue in the word, if you would. In the context of this, we see that he's encouraging Timothy to continue to be remaining faithful to abiding in the word of God, what he has been taught. Many a times you hear messages time and time again. This is why I encourage you to take notes or, note down a few things so you can be, or I give you notes to keep. So you be refreshed and you resort to, or perhaps you download a sermon that you need, you archive them to be refreshed with some certain area that you're going, that you're struggling with, to be reminded of that, to be continuing in that. I don't know about you, but if you're like me, I've got some things in my life that I struggle with, that I need God continually to help me with them, and I need to be reminded of them, and that's perhaps why you hear messages time and time again, and perhaps they're the same message in a different twist, different delivery, different illustration, or different passage of a parable or story, so we can always be in remembrance of the Word of God. Why? So we can be faithful, so we don't forget, so we can continue. He says, but look, I want you to be reminded who you're getting this information from. The hindrance is this, forgetting what you've been taught. And not only forgetting what you've been taught, but forgetting where you learn it or where you learnt it from. Holy men of God teaching the Holy Scriptures, having the Holy Spirit as the guide in your life to convict you by the Word of God. And the reason why he says this is in 2 Timothy 3:13, the passage before, the verse before, he says, but evil men and seducers have waxed worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Timothy, I want you to continue on with what you've learned from these holy men of God that have used the scriptures not deceitfully and not have used flattering words or trying to entice or manipulate by using other means. But understand where you've learned this from. Why? So you can continue therein. A lot of people today are losing the love for the Word of God. They rather go to a church where they hear a 25-minute message and perhaps watered down and spend the rest of the time playing or jumping around. There are people out there that are deceiving. There are people out there that are being deceived and they're deceiving. And what he's saying to Timothy is, I want you to continue in the Word of God. I want you to continue to be convicted by the Scriptures. I know this for a fact. It's not pleasant to the flesh to be convicted all the time by the Word of God. Now, I don't know about you, but I've sat under messages, I've sat under preachers where I just couldn't breathe because I know that the Word of God had dealt with me and I need to go back and make right. And I thank God for those moments. And I thank God how the Spirit of God works in that way. And I say, God, I don't want that to be lost in my life. And I want to continue in the Scriptures. I'm not going to simply put it aside because I want to go find someone that will tell me what I want to hear. Many a times the Scriptures does the convincing of your heart. And you and I need that. We need to continue in the Word of God. You say, what's the benefit? What's the benefit? Well, seeing the next generation prosper in the truth of God's word. Notice what he says in verse 15, 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child that has known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Wow. Timothy, I want you to continue on like your grandmother perhaps, or like your mother perhaps continued in the faith, in the unfeigned faith of the scriptures. And in the Word of God, I want you to continue on because it was the Scriptures that made you wise unto salvation. It was the truth of God's Word that you learnt from a child that helped you understand what salvation was. And now I want you to continue in them. That's a blessing, isn't it? The benefit of reaping of faithful people that have passed down this same book to us today. What a blessing. And then the benefits of growing as a matured Christian. He goes on to say in verse 16, all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God or the woman of God may be perfect, that word is matured, truly furnished unto all good works. And so the benefits of remaining in the scriptures is to be a matured Christian and to do the work of God in a matured way and to grow in the knowledge and truth about God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to see Charity stay her, you know, little baby ways. I said to my brother this morning, I said, it's good to see Charity's got a double chin now. Now she's drinking the milk, you know, she's putting on weight. Praise God for that. And that's what the scripture does to us. When we are on the milk of God's word, we grow, and one day we can actually go on the meat of God's word and learn rich things about God and get closer to God and have convictions that will please God and live a holy life. But we have to continue in the word of God. That's the benefits. That we'll be a matured Christian, not being a people that is going to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine and everything that comes and the hindrances of these deceivers that will come. No, we'll be a Christian that we've heard these things, we've heard them from men of God, we've been instructed by the scriptures, and now we're able to stand and help someone, our next generation, help our children to come up. Amen? Benefits of that. Let's see definition number three, 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy 2:2. We see there, and the things that thou hast learned of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. He says, I want you to commit this to faithful men that they may be able to teach others also. So we see in this definition that faithful men are trusted men. They're committed men. They're men that will be taught to teach. They're people that will be blessed to bless. They're people that retain the knowledge of God, and they retain and they learn and they grow and they're encouraged to encourage. They're people that would just simply be trusted with what they've heard. They understand that the Word of God is a jewel. It's a nice pearl, if you would. Richer than that. It's a treasure that cannot be compared. And they understand the value of that, and now they want to pass it down. They're trusted people, committed people. And the Proverbs chapter 25 verse 13 says, as the cold of snow in time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. For he refresheth the soul of his masters. I'll tell you something, faithful people are a breath of fresh air. You understand that they're a breath of fresh air. And they're committed and trusted people. Faithful person can be counted on. Now, what's the hindrance? The hindrance is laziness or selfishness. If anything gets in the way of someone being faithful to be a blessing in someone else's life, to be taught, to teach, to be encouraged, to encourage, it's self or laziness, self-indulgence and self-gratification. What's in it for me? How can I benefit from this? It's self-consumed. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 13. The Bible says there in Proverbs chapter 26, verse 13, the slothful man saith, there is a lion in the way, a lion is in the streets. And so this person over here is a lazy person, slothful man, a person that makes excuses. I'm not getting out, there's a lion in the way. I'm not going to be committed, I'm not going to be faithful. And an unfaithful person will make every excuse under the sun. And Proverbs chapter 10 verse 26 says, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. It's the opposite, it's true. A sluggard person is someone that's vinegar to the teeth. I don't know, have you ever had vinegar? Try it one day. It makes your teeth on edge. It sets them on edge. It just, and an unfaithful person does that. It sets someone else on edge. It's contrary to the one that refreshes his master. A breath of fresh air. Instead, it's irritating. It's smoke to the eyes. And so the hindrance is someone that's selfish or lazy. And the benefits, though, if we see, the benefits is investing in others for eternity. Now, can you imagine that with me this morning? Commit this to faithful men that they may be able to teach others also, that they may be encouraged to encourage, that they may be given the gospel to give the gospel. What a wonderful thing that is. Now, that's impacting or investing in others for eternity. And note it, giving an opportunity for them to invest for eternity. What a wonderful thing. That's a great benefit. Notice in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Paul the Apostle saying, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. And he goes on to say, to be with Christ is far better. But he's having this battle in his mind because he realized in verse 24, nevertheless to abide in the flesh, that means to continue in the flesh, is what? More needful for you. For me to die is gain. I'm going to be with the Lord. But if I continue in this body, if I continue in this flesh, it's more needful for you. It's going to be encouragement to you. And so the benefits is the fact that he knew that he would be encouraged to encourage. He'd be blessed to bless. And so it is with us. What a wonderful thing that you'd be faithful, that someone would spend time in your life, that you can spend time in another person's life. Take someone under your wing. Invest with someone. Take them out, do something, study the scripture. Oh, there's going to become a time that we'll be able to do that once you're fully grounded in the word, if you're still a babe in Christ. Someone's taught you, encouraged you, you're able to take them under your wing. That's a faithful person. And Paul the Apostle said, the benefits of it, it's more needful for you. It's an encouragement for you. You're investing in someone else's life for eternity. What a blessing that is. And then let's just say number four definition. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians 15, 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The definition here is in the verse, it's to be steadfast, to be unmovable, to always abound in. To continue on, to be faithful, steadfast. And we understand that many a times we perhaps will fall, but a just man falleth how many times? Seven times, he gets up again and he goes. I'm not saying to you here today that faithful men do not fall, but faithful men, when they do fall and they are moved, they get up again and they dig their feet in. They get back where the Lord wants them to be. And you say, what a definition, to be unmovable, always abounding in. Amen. That's what faithfulness is. To abound in, to be unmovable, to be steadfast. You say, what was the hindrance for them? Well, it was false teachings. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 30, we're going to see Paul the Apostle says, and why stand we in jeopardy every hour? And let me just explain the context of what he's saying here. There are many people saying that the resurrection is not going to take place. Or there's not going to be a raising of the dead. What's this new body? How's this new body going to look like? You know, how's it going to take place? And Paul the Apostle is trying to encourage them. And because of this hindrance, that false teaching that's come and crept up about there's not going to be a resurrection. He says, why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? He says, I protest by your rejoicing, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die daily. If after the manner of men I fight with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage it to me? If the dead not rise, he says, look, listen, I'm not sacrificing my life here. I'm not, you know, dying daily. I'm not going out and fighting battles and going through danger and trials and tribulations for nothing. If we're not going to have a resurrection, then tomorrow we die, then eat, drink, and be merry, man. Live it up. But no, he's not saying that. He says, be not deceived. Verse 33, evil communication corrupt good manners. And I'm saying to you this morning that if you're ever going to be hindered from being faithful to God and his word, then it's false teachings. Paul said to Timothy, but foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. Paul says to Titus, but avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain. Don't talk about things that are just a waste of time, and don't spend time with those that just want to waste time and play the devil's advocate. Ah, there are people that will creep in and play the devil's advocate and love to sit down in the seat of the scornful and mock the word of God, and perhaps they even claim that they're believers, but they're still people that try to write it off some way and try to poison. But Paul the Apostle says, don't be poisoned, don't be hindered by this false teaching. There is a resurrection. We don't stand in danger of our lives for nothing. We don't leave what God had done in our lives and what we've been simply left for the sake of just, pressing forward. For if there's not going to be an afterlife, if all we do is going to die and nothing after that, why are we doing what we're doing? We might as well live it up like anyone else. Not even think about God, not even think about the consequences of sin. We just might as well just. And so what are the hindrances? Avoid false teachings. Avoid foolish questions and talking about things that people try to divert you from and get you thinking about something else. I guarantee you, friends, you'll be unfaithful. Some people haven't come to church and they're not faithful in church because they heard something on the internet of a foolish person that says, the world came with a big bang. And they entertain that. And they dabble in that. And they start believing that. And logic and common sense is out the window now. Because now they're dabbling with someone that's foolish. We were on the street yesterday and a man doesn't want to believe. He goes, we don't want to believe that there's a God. That's foolish. There's no God. I said, well, you've just told me what you thought about God. But you know what God thinks about people that don't believe that there is a God? They're fools. And we'll be foolish to entertain people for quite some time that are not genuine and be shaken in our minds if we don't avoid these. Yeah, I'm not saying that you don't prolong and be faithful and try to reach people, but don't stay there too long if they don't want to be taught and all they want to do is poison you, especially if you have kids around. And that's what some of our schools, I'm afraid, are doing. They're poisoning your children. They're having curriculum now in the schools of how we came about by apes. That's poison, folks. You think about Columbine. Why does that transpire? Columbine shooting. You tell me, why does that take place? You tell me. Because if you're going to believe that you're an animal, then you do animal things. Isn't that right? You'll start doing animal things. But if you don't take the Bibles out of school and you teach them we came from God and He has a moral law and His moral law sets us in order and we fear the consequences that will come if we don't keep the law of God, then that will set things in order. But you go teach people that you came from an animal, you're going to start doing animal things. You're going to start living like an animal. Poison your minds. And that's false doctrine. What it does, it poisons. Let me just also say this to you. You may be someone that has a truth from God's word. And you're strong in that point. You may be strong in that point than someone else. And it's truth. It's not false. Let me say this. Don't go too long on that hobby horse. Because even that hobby horse can get you off from being faithful in other areas that you're not strong on. I thought I'd throw that in and be an encouragement to you. I believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. But if I'm going to stand and holler about the King James Bible all my life being the Word of God and this and that and all, I'm not going to have time to live the Word of God. I said to a friend last night, do you believe that we have the Bible in English? Absolutely. Then go ahead and live it. Let's stop talking about it. If you're convinced, go ahead and live it. And by the way, I believe that the Arabic Bible is also the Word of God. I believe God is able to get His word translated in other languages. But what I'm trying to say is when you go too long on a hobby horse and you get caught up in, oh man, trying to calculate when Jesus is coming back, you're going to get in trouble. You know, do the calculations. He should be coming back on this date. That's going to get you unfaithful from doing what you ought to do. Does everyone understand what I'm saying this morning? Say amen if you do.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I can get to the next point then. Second hindrances, not only false doctrine, but sin. Notice what he says in verse 34, 1 Corinthians 15:34. So other hindrances from being faithful is false doctrine, but also sin. He says, wake up to righteousness. And what does he say next? And sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. He says, I speak this to your shame. And we know that Hebrews 12 verse 1 says, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great cloud of witnesses, he says, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which doth so easily beset us. He says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. So we understand that sin can be hindrances. So what are some of the weights that can be a hindrance? What are some things or sins in our lives that we need to remove out of our life in order for us to keep faithful, to keep moving? I'll let you take some time to identify what that is, but we need to remove them out of our lives because they can be a hindrance. But notice the benefit. 1 Corinthians 15:58, as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. Now, I don't know about you, but that's comfort to my soul. Your labor is not vain, note it, in the Lord. What is done for the God's glory is not lost, my friend. And what is done for God's glory is not overlooked. It's not in vain. Hebrews 6:10 says, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, for which ye have shown towards His name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. You say to yourself here today, well, I try and I work and I try and I do my best to show my spouse love, but they don't see it. I do my best to show my dad and my ma, and I work my hardest, but they don't see it. I do my best for my children, but they don't take any notice of it. You may be here and say, well, the boss doesn't even see my work. My pastor doesn't see I'm faithful. You say, well, let me say this to you. God sees it. And that's who you should be doing it for. Because your labor is not in anyone else, but in the Lord for His glory. And I guarantee you, when you start doing it for His eyes alone, you'll do a better job. He says, but there's nothing, I'm not getting nothing back. Doesn't matter. God sees it. Your labor's not in vain. And by the way, that will give you a good indication just to say, God, I want to get my motive checked here. I'm not patted. I'm not recognized. That's okay. My efforts are not being seen, but I know you see them. And I want to do this for you, God. Help me keep my motive right. Help me not be unmovable. Colossians 3:22 says, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as man pleases, but in the singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, and not as unto men. Do it from all your heart. Do it for God's eyes, and do it for His glory." The Bible says in Colossians 3:17, "And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." Mark 19:41, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he should not lose his reward." Your labor, my friend, is not in vain. It's a benefit. What a benefit to be faithful. Amen? So if you want to pray, if you want to fast, if you want to give, do it in secret. Your Father reward you. Your labor is not in vain. You don't have to do it for the eyes of men. And by the way, you'll be limited in your service if you do it for the eyes of men, because you'll be working and laboring only when they're looking. But when you do it for the eyes of God, even when they don't look, you can still continue on being faithful. Amen? Number five, and we'll finish. We've got 10. We'll finish the next five tonight. So we'll do the last one now. 2 Timothy 4:2. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. Be instant. In season and out of season. Reproof. Rebuke. Exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Definition: to be in your place in the good times and in the bad times. In the hard times and in the tough times. It's easy to be faithful when everything's going well, isn't it? It's easy when you feel good. It's easy when your health is going okay. It's easy when the money's covering the bills. It's easy when you still have your job. It's easy when everyone's loving you, isn't it? It's easy. But what about the times when discouragement sets in? Or maybe you get older and you can't function like you used to. Heard a story about a missionary that told the story about an elderly woman who had been reached with the gospel. And though she was blind, she could neither read or write. She wanted to share her newfound faith with others. So she went to this missionary and said, "Could you give me the Bible in French?" Got her a Bible in French. She said, "Could you underline John 3:16 for me?" He underlined it. And then she'll wait outside one of the classes of a school. And the boys that will run out, she'll stop them and say, "Can you read this verse here?" And she'll explain and expound what John 3:16 means. Apparently this missionary told that many of these young students had come to the Lord. Not even her eyesight could stop her from being faithful. Wow. The light, what's the benefit? The light will still shine in these last days. Because in these last days, as the Bible says, people are going to go, "Oh, give us a prophet that will tell us what we want to hear." They're going to have itching ears. "Give us a preacher that will tell us how to make money and how to be rich and feel good" messages. That's the last days, folks. This last past week, after coming back from the Solomon Islands, I've been down and out. Especially after going out yesterday, soul winning, and seeing a vast contrast how people will respond to the Word of God. I was talking to one man that I was trying to reach ever since we got to Newcastle. And from the day I met him, he calls me by name, heathen, infidel. I don't take any, I'm over that now. I've given it to the Lord. It doesn't bother me. Just still trying to see him. So, "God still loves you, sir. had one man as I was speaking to him, trying to communicate to him that there is a God and God loves him. Another man walking past says, "Ah, he got you, huh? You can't go nowhere." I said, "God loves you too, sir." And as I turned around, there was a lady in her car wagging her head. I said, "God loves you too, ma'am." She goes, "No, he doesn't." I just thought, I'm just battered, getting battered, left, right, and center. What's wrong? Well, what did God do to them? We're outside the hospital in the Solomon Islands. We're taking a man that fell and broke his hand. Did something, it was shattered and it was swelling up. We had to take him. So a couple of us went, we hopped in the truck and took him in. And as we're leaving the place, he sends a guy and he says, "Hey, the guy wants the Bible that you promised." We forgot to give him a Bible. We said, "We'll give him one." So we ran back to give him the Bible, and then it dawned on us, we had boxes of Bibles in the back of the truck. We thought, "Hey, let's give it to all these patients that are waiting before they go in." What a time. We got these Bibles, racked them up, and you see these people just looking like that. "Oh, can I have one? Can I have one?" We gave out a couple here and there, and people walking. We tried to give every patient one, and then the staff and the nurses and the doctors came out wanting one. We had no more left on hand. We have a few more boxes in the car. So we're walking back to the car. As we're walking back to the car, two nurses came and said, "We didn't get one." I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, man, if we go back and get a box, it's going to start erupting again. Let's just go, "Okay, well, come with us and we'll get you. We won't bring it to you, but you come to us to the car." And so we went down, busted another box open, gave them a Bible, and all of a sudden you see people coming to the car. And before you know it, you have these people, about five or six. I thought, I'm just going to use it like we did as an opportunity to share the gospel. So just sharing the gospel. And in my mind and heart, thinking as I'm preaching, and it was so hot, sweat was running down my eyes to the point where they were, you know, irritating my eyes. I couldn't open them. And I was just barely could see, and just people mounting up more and more, more and more. I remember seeing one big fella like this, thinking, man, is he for me or against me? But I don't know, you know, just everyone just gathered around. And we'll start giving him Bibles and that. And I'm thinking, Lord, I'm preaching and Buddy's giving Bibles. I said, are these people really just coming for the Bible? Because they're that poor that just want a Bible. What is it? It started thundering and raining. I'm thinking, in my mind, we got to go for cover. But instead, you know, we're wet, hot, sweaty, stinky anyway, so we just stayed. And in my heart, in my mind, I'm thinking that these people got what they wanted. They're going to go now. It's raining. They're going to go back undercover in the hospital. And I looked up like that, and the people having these Bibles under their shirts like this in the rain and just listening. I thought, wow. And we're soaking wet, and the man, I still see the man still standing like that. He didn't get a Bible yet. And then right toward the end, we just invited people, if they want to receive Christ, he came, he got a Bible. Now, this went on for several days, different places. And coming back here, going to be honest with you, it was out of season for me. But through this message and pondering upon it, and just seeing different faces, kids, children, and what they're facing in this ungodly nation, all the more we need a light here. You put out that light, my friend, it will be so dark. So dark. The apathetic, ungodly people to him. If the Christian go, what will happen? They need to continue on. And all I'm saying to you here is if you have the light and you've been saved, You better all be passionate about shining that light no matter what happens. Whether you get a response or you don't, whether people want to hear it or don't, whether people come or they don't, whether they look at their watches or they don't, just keep going. Just keep following up. Don't be intimidated by their faces. Don't be intimidated by their rejection. It's so dark. People are increased with goods here, rich. They've got their entertainment, they've got their music, they've got their cars, they've got their boxes. They're entertained, they're just lost. And they need a light. And say, well, I don't feel like it, Lord. She says, I didn't want you to go because you feel like it or you don't. I want you to do it because you just be faithful to me. I said, okay, I'll be faithful to you. Absolutely. Because you were faithful to me and I believe I'm where God wants me. I really do. I believe right now I'm where God wants me. Let me say this to you, do you? Then you be faithful. Good times, bad times. Just needs one more statistic, one more light to be put out to make it darker than what it is. God help us to be faithful in these last times. Holding the word of truth forward, lighting up more than ever. Not hiding it under a bushel, not being intimidated, but going out. Even if you feel like the weeping Jeremiah prophet, just go. I was encouraged to hear that phone call yesterday from the ladies that going in prison. That was a blessing to my heart. May God keep us faithful even if we don't see fruit.